Good evening. Good evening. How are you doing out there on podcast land? Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you might be listening, whether it is the morning, afternoon, or evening. Welcome to Living Light, Dark to Dawn, Rock Solid, the place where you come to expand your thinking and elevate your way of being. My name is Dawn Shale, certified life coach and soul healer, here for your utmost highest experience to be inspired, motivated, encouraged, uplifted, and all those good things of which I is always my intention that you do experience that by the time you have finished listening. How is everybody doing? It is a fresh April 16th. Welcome to April 16th. It's hard to believe it's the fourth month of the year and we are actually in the middle of April already. Gorgeous day today, gorgeous spring day. Things are blooming. I think we're out of the woods as far as winter's concerned. We're finally out of the nasty territory. I think we're past that. Yesterday was a whopping 80 degrees here in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, where I'm coming to you from as always. And a couple of shout outs real quick to Ms. Margie and Ms. Bet. Ms. Bet is a Wisconsinite. Congratulations to her. Her grandchild was just born, and that's all I have to say about that, but we want to wish her well. And yeah. She was concerned for a little while there. But in any case, I'm glad that all is well there. And Margie Pargie, my Jersey girl, we're going to be getting together soon. Not sure when, hopefully soon. Definitely we're on the upside of the weather, as I said. Today was 10 degrees cooler. It was like 70 degrees, but it was wind-free. And it's always nice. Oh my gosh, over the weekend, Saturday, I think, was just, it was like 50 degrees. It was freezing, so windy. I went to Home Depot to do like to get the plants and do all that stuff, you know, and get ready to do all the outdoor fun things with all the plants. And I love to plant the basil and all of that. And it was so cold. I mean, I couldn't even stand it. I don't know how all the plants and flowers didn't die, but it was just so windy. People had they had on their winter jackets. And then yesterday was like 80 degrees. Sunday was nice though. It was a good weekend. It was a nice weekend. I hope you're all doing well. One quick announcement, Jaded Health. I will be, by the way, next week in Dallas. I am leaving on the 24th. I'm not sure if I'm doing a podcast on the 23rd because I have, you know, a lot to do and prep for. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do a podcast at all next week, but I will definitely be back the week after for sure. So that segues into David Medansky of Jaded Health, which is why I'm going to Dallas to be on his show. And I'm so excited. So author of Breaking the Chains of Dieting, Stop Dieting, Start Thinning, and Jaded Health, and his brand and his show. And he's just an awesome human being, husband, father, just friend, the whole ball of wax. Do look him up for if you are just wanting more, just total health and wellness in your life. He's your guy. He is a health coach now. He's an author several times over, and this show is going to take off. And he has another project that he has started. It is the first little bit of that. The launch of that has gone really well, so I'm happy for him in that regard. But David Medansky, look him up if you're looking for total health and wellness. And I'm not talking about just diet and getting skinny or anything like that. I'm talking about just everything concerning your health and well-being. So that all being said, looks like Dave is in the house. Hey, Dave, how you doing? Waiting for Carrie. Carrie probably got a little tied up at work, but loyal listeners here. Dave and Carrie, and we haven't seen some other people in a while. Frank sometimes pops in. JB just got back from a cruise, and I'm sure he's still getting used to the land living, so I don't think he's going to be coming on. But in any case, we always move forward. We keep right on going. New Jersey's still in the top spot of the downloads. I think it's up to almost 92,000 downloads, which I'm excited about that, and it's really hard to believe, and I wish I could see the faces of all these listeners and the people that listen. But, you know, someday, I don't know, but In any case, you got to dream big, right? So tonight's topic, it's going to be a juicy one: layers, shifts, and upgrades. And I'm talking about this. I always have a reason for everything I talk about. You know that. And, you know, so let me share some of the talking points of which I always divert from anyway, but I'll just share what they are. We have an introduction, fresh paint and the hawk. I'm definitely going to be talking about that extensively. That was just an amazing experience on Sunday. Just outstanding. Unhealed emerging debris. Where is everyone trying to go? Offloading and drama. The help. New of you and so much more. And these are just a couple of talking points for the moment. You know, just for the live studio, because I always shoot from heart space and I always want to speak and flow, go with the flow and speak authentically. So why am I talking about this one? Well, let me start off by the story. I woke up to a dream too. I had a very interesting dream. I woke up this morning. It was the last, you know, experience, let's say, I had before I woke up. And I was having a conversation. I was somewhere in some gathering of sorts, and off to the side, I was having a conversation with a doctor and a psychiatrist. And I wasn't seeing a psychiatrist, mind you, there's a difference, but I was having a conversation with a psychiatrist and a doctor, and they were talking about and enforcing the importance of prescription medicine. And this is definitely not, just a dream that I had. It's this experience that I had, and it's not directed at anybody in particular, but I finally, when I started to talk, you know, I was the part where I was speaking, it just came out of me where I said, but abundance is our way of being. It's who we are. Abundance is our way of being and who we are. There he is, Mr. Carey. Carey has entered the live studio. Yay. Carey Berry and the Davester in the house. Yay. We got a packed out live studio today. Okay. So I was just starting to share how I had this dream, and I was, because they were enforcing the importance of medicine. And we know that sometimes in context, people need to take meds. I'm not anti that all the way around, but I think that everybody relying on medicine in the way that it has been and the way that it's abused. And then there's this people that are using this diabetes medicine just to lose weight. I forgot what it's called. I talked about it several weeks ago when, you know, the big billionaire did an ABC special about this particular drug for, you know, people that have had just every single struggle trying to lose weight. And so they've now resorted to using this drug, and doctors have no problem prescribing this drug because it does help with weight loss. But in any case, so the whole point was abundance, and the focus of the dream was how I felt in the dream, and that abundance just came rolling right out of me in this conversation to these people. And they, you know, I'm going to say this about doctors and psychiatrists and so forth. Psychiatrists are, they're therapists and counselors that can prescribe medicine. That's really what a psychiatrist is. And that's the only difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist is they could prescribe medicine. Psychologists can't do that. So, and there might be a little bit more than that, but that's the gist. So the fact that the abundance just came rolling right out of me like that, I was like, wow. And I woke up and I said today, and I just had a sense that today was going to be an interesting day. And it has been an interesting day for sure. In the energy space, if anybody's noticed, and I'm going to get into that. Let me just write that down real quick. You know, the atmosphere, if you want to call it, or the energy space, they're both one and the same as far as I'm concerned. It was a little intense today, and it has everything to do with why I'm talking about this. And, you know, if anybody, well, the two here, you know, we're friends in Facebook, in the social media. If anyone else is listening and you follow me in social media, particularly Facebook, this sort of analogy, well, it wasn't an analogy, a metaphor that I posted yesterday morning when I painted this table has everything to do with this as well. But so the, so I wrote that down, the energy and the atmosphere. it was interesting. And I knew when I woke up that I felt like a sort of a shift. And it has to do with, you know, unhealed debris, traumas and things that basically the universe is forcing people to look at this, you know, and it sounds brash, but it's all for the point of love. And you've heard me say this, and this is really, among other things, one of the core drivers of my all around message, as is guiding people to the heart of who they are. It's all part of it. It's all part of going deeper in love into the heart space, which the heart body is the word that I use to describe all this. And so after, you know, I thought about this dream, I was like, wow, you know, here I am telling these people the abundance is within us, because there's so much dependence upon all these substances and these outward things. And I think that if you're living and you have a pulse and we have a heartbeat, I think that for the most part, we can do whatever it takes to keep ourselves as healthy as possible. We can do whatever we put our mind to. And, you know, we do make choices. And I know that there's a balance with that. And some people don't always have a choice with certain things, with certain things that they've experienced most of their lives or they've struggled with most of their lives. And there definitely are exceptions to the rule, and there are no rules anyway. So I don't talk from a place of rules or shame or judgment. And I make that clear often all the time. I make that clear that there's no shame and judgment in anything that I share. Personally, I haven't been sick in 6 years. I'm celebrating 6 years. I think it's last month was 6 official years of not even having a cold. You know, symptoms have come on me, and I have my arsenal and things that I do that are all of a natural origin that I believe, you know, you can get your hands on these things, and, you know, I don't want to turn it into that, but, you know, I have remedies and things that as soon as I feel like off or odd or whatever, I don't, you know, start to go, oh, you know, I don't feel good. I think I'm with, and I think a lot of times, because when years ago, before I was in this place, years ago, if I started to not feel well, I would just feed that. I'd feed and lean right into that. And sure enough, you know, by the end of the day, I would be sick. And the next morning I'd be like not going to work, which is probably why I did that. Nothing like a paid sick day, right? But, you know, I won't like you. It's a waste of time. It gets me off my game, and, you know, as it does anybody. And so, you know, I work out, I try to do at least 4 days a week. Sometimes I miss, I've gotten really busy lately. Things have changed and I've switched gyms and things, and which is all positive. I work out and I eat well. You know, and it sounds so cliche and it sounds so easy and simple, but it's true. You know, the food that we eat and the diet, and not our diet, but just the foods that we eat and the choices, the food selections and choices that we make have everything to do with our health. And I'm talking about over time, not just, you know, a lot of people now are playing damage control and they're sort of like, they're of age, you know, maybe they're past their 40s now. And now this is where people start taking, you know, blood pressure medicine, heart pills, sugar, the diabetes stuff. Well, not everybody gets diabetes, but you know, sometimes people, if they haven't really worked on keeping themselves trim, and if they're overweight for too long, they get what is called the on-site diabetes, and they end up getting diabetes because they've just not taken losing weight seriously. But there's blood pressure stuff, there's blood thinners, there's just so many things that people find themselves having to deal with, diverticulitis, digestion issues. My gosh, I think like just this year alone, like every time I turn around, and I don't watch television, but I have it on in the background sometimes, and the pharmaceutical commercials that come out, like there's all these different, I'm trying to think of the one that just came out, and all these funky names, you know, they sound like disco titles to disco songs. Honestly, they, you know, like Jardians. Let's do the Jardians. I don't know. I'm just trying to be stupid, but I mean, I don't even know what that one's for. Lowering your A1C, and they're dancing around. And anyway, I just don't think that we're supposed to live and eat and do and whatever the heck we want our whole entire life till we hit 50. And then all of a sudden we're in the prescription line and we have to take all these drugs for the rest of our lives to keep ourselves going. And I'm, again, no shame or judgment. I'm not trying to be mean. I had some education on this 20 years ago, like a long time ago. And that's why I started working out. And I said, I don't want to be like have the sagging arms and, you know, dealing with the prescription medicine. Yeah, I think the only medicine I have in my house is Advil. Like, that's it. That's absolutely all that I will take. And I don't even like taking Advil all the time because none of this stuff is good for your liver. None of it. I mean, I knew someone that took so much medicine, then they went into liver failure, and then they had to take medicine for their liver failure. I mean, it's just, you can't even take your medicine once you go into liver failure. And it does, you can recover this. And this person told me this story, and she was in her 80s, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I don't know how she's lived even as past as long as she has, the intense medicines that she takes. What did Carrie say here? The commercial cracks me up. I know, isn't that, oh my God. Like, I changed the channel, Carrie. I do. I change the channel. Let's dance around because we're taking... What are some of the other ones? Oh my goodness. But anyway, I'm not focusing on this. I'm just about the dream that I had with saying that abundance comes from within. And doctors have not been educated in this. They've had probably in their whole entire course history of classes and education, they had 14 hours of nutrition. They do what they've been taught, and they prescribe what they've been taught to do, and they've not really veered outside of that. Unlike Dr. David Friedman, who is the exception to the rule, who is the author of the book Food Sanity. I had him on this podcast. The sequel will be coming out. I will be having him on again. He's brilliant. 6 years it took him to write this book. He knows his stuff, and the reason why he wrote it is because he encountered two different, quote, diseases himself. And he said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to live on medicine. And he healed himself with food. He literally healed himself with food. Like, that's his story. And if he can do it, anybody can do this. And I think that it's you can't be a lazy person and do this. It takes time. Like, we don't walk into the grocery store and there aren't signs on the walls or in the aisles that say, you know, here, use this if you're struggling with if you pee a lot, or use this if you have migraine headaches. You know, this is, you know, try these beets and this root plant vegetable thing over here, and this is going to help you with your migraine headaches. It's not a mainstream thing, and so to heal your body, you really have to do research. You have to Google that stuff. You know, instead of, you know, I don't know, maybe wasting time on social media and getting into all kinds of drama and just BSing, you know, maybe we could research and read content as to how we can really live a healthier life. And I think that's part of the downside to being inundated with social media, which is just so, it's insane. I took a break. I didn't spend much time in social media. Like, I do that now. I think Tuesdays, I don't know if it's going to always be that way, but after a while, I just feel like in my head, I can't explain it. Like, I just don't even want to be here right now. And I do it because I want to, because I inspire, because I do this. I do, you know, for those reasons, but also, partially because I feel like I kind of have to in a sort of a positive way, if I could say have to in a positive way. But you know, there's other things that I'm working on and doing, and I, 7 days a week is a heck of a lot to be, you know, focusing. And I mean, there are people that are just in these social media spaces and they're posting like 3 and 4 posts, 5 posts a day. Like, just, it's constant. And I don't know how they produce and get stuff done. Or where they even find these posts from to just keep posting. But anyway, no shame or judgment. I swear that's where I'm coming from. I'm saying that it's just, some of it really it'll wear on your energy. It'll wear on your energy. It'll wear on your brain. It really will. Like, literally your brain, it'll just wear you out. And sometimes I feel like it's just because there's so many different things of space, energy and stuff going on in there. But in any case, the abundance. So abundance is who we are. We are abundance at our core, and it takes time to really live there. It takes time to really live in this place of this flowing, thriving space of abundance. And so I just want to say hello to somebody who's coming. So we have Jeff Jones. How are you, Jeff Jones? Welcome to the live studio. Oh, you just popped out. Okay, we'll see you later. Let's moving around. So I just found that I'm not, the purpose of the dream, I don't think was, I mean, who knows if somebody has their own interpret it as you wish. But for me, it was, that was just the conviction that I have for the abundance that we really are. And I said a long time ago on this podcast, I've been doing this 3 years. I think I said, you know, I'll meet with a psychiatrist any day of the week, you know, a psychotherapist, a psychiatrist, a doctor, what do they call the PhD? I'll have a conversation with a PhD any day of the week, because this is not a mental, this is not mind over matter. This is not a mental, this is not a mental journey. It's not a mental battle. It's, we can't win this quote war or these situations that we face in the mind. It just can't be done in the mind. And there are a few posts that went through today, even though I didn't post myself. I do peruse, I check things out, and I did make one significant comment on a post today. You know, this isn't a systematic journey either. It's not a system. You can't work a formula or a method. You know, that you are the formula. You are the path of totality, as referring to the eclipse that happened last week. You know, the abundance is within you. It's all within you, and it's a matter of tuning in and tapping into that. Oh, well, I'm so sick of hearing it. But if you're sick of hearing it, you haven't tapped into it yet. And you can. You absolutely can. Last week's podcast, I talked about an author a little bit, someone that I admire dearly and love their work. And I just referenced how they kind of go back and forth with things. And I think that, you know, they tend to write from their own space of, you know, their own trauma space and their own experience. And everybody does, you know, write, talk, speak, share from their own phase of consciousness and their own experience, you know, and it doesn't mean it's everybody else's experience. And I resonate with a lot of their stuff. When we get over into the sort of the, you know, erring on the side of, you know, that some people just can't do this. It's not a matter of can't, it's a matter of will or won't. You know, you either will or you won't. And I can say this, it's your journey too. And I get that, but I have shared my story. I did some of this last week, you know, the only child thing and blah, blah, blah. And it was hard. It was really, really hard. And I still have breakthroughs. I will be personal development until I pass into the next experience. I'm never going to give this up. This is something that I'm never going to stop talking about. It's my, you know, I have a heart of freedom for every person that's walking and breathing. And I think that, you know, knowing how I felt when I was a kid and where I came from, when I think back to how utterly just, you know, I hate to say this, pathetic it was. How pathetic it was that I was really literally not taught anything about life. Like I wasn't, There was nothing being taught to me, as in, it was more like I was being told what to do, but I wasn't being shown anything about myself. I wasn't being shown anything about how to be. I wasn't shown anything about how to feel about myself. There were never any affirmations. There was never any good job or you're so this good at this and you're so amazing and all these different things. I didn't hear any of this, like none of it. I mean, once in a while, I think, you know, when I was playing the piano, I got a compliment when I was playing the piano once. I mean, think about this. Your parents are supposed to be nurturing a child into their highest esteem, steering them in the direction of being able to stand on their own, take care of themselves, stand up to bullies, stand up to being, you know, to stand up for yourself and teach them their power. I didn't have any of that, like none of that. And I had to figure that out. And I didn't figure that out until way later in life. I was bullied and pushed around and knocked around and all kinds. I'm telling you, like grammar school was a nightmare. High school was a nightmare, you know, which by the way, our 40-year reunion is coming up next week. I don't know if I'm going to go. I don't know. The jury's still out on that one. But seriously, I mean, I was a senior in high school, was a little bit better. You know, senior year, everybody's happy and psyched and it's senior year and people finally grew up a little bit by then. you know, as much as you can be at 17 years of age. But, you know, it's just, life was not easy for me at all. I wasn't popular in high school, even after I graduated high school and I went to beauty school. Like, that was just another, that was like high school 2.0. It really was. In my 20s, I was 24 years old. Like, you're an adult. 24 years old, I'm in beauty school, and it's like, this is high school all over again. Then guess what? Then you go get a job in a salon and it's still high school. And then you, and it's just like all the immaturity and all the people that are just not emotionally wired to know how to relate, to not gossip, to really care and honor people, to really have honor for each other. And then it was like the corporate world and here's more high school. You know, it's just like, and I'm not saying, oh, you think, I'm not speaking from a place of arrogance. I am speaking from a place of awareness. I am speaking from a sense of awareness that I was brought into this world with a sort of advanced sort of soul awareness. And it wasn't easy as a result because I wasn't a mean fighter. And I thought back then that, well, if I just don't say anything and I just kind of sit there and maybe they'll stop picking on me. Maybe they'll stop doing this. That didn't work. I didn't think to say, you know, give them a good swift kick in the ass or say, F you, get the hell out of my face. Like, I didn't think to do that. I wasn't taught how to do any of this. So what I'm saying is, and there's so much I could, like, I had to grow up and work and teach myself and work through all this and be around other people and kind of, I learned by observation. I literally learned by observation and I acquired some things by watching, just observing and then reading. And then, oh boy, I went to church and that was fun. There was more high school there too. But in any case, oh, that's another story. So where am I going with this? I'm talking about that if I could do this healing journey, and I was kind of ahead of the game when, I don't know where, like now the people that I'm connected to and where we're at in this space of, you know, the massive deconstruction, the massive, you know, leaving the religion and all of that. And then, you know, this spirituality, the spiritualism on steroids, you know, I sort of in some way had to be a little bit ahead of this. You can either call it a pioneer, a trailblazer, a first waiver, which pick, take your pick, whatever sits well with you. So I can now sit here and kind of talk and teach and share these things from experience. And is it easy? Absolutely not. Snots in the rug. You've heard me say that 100,000 times. It's just snots in the rug, like feeling into it, you know, trying to understand like where, what there, and there's so many questions that you ask yourself and there's so many things that you do. But so this is all part of layers, shifts, and upgrades. And so the layers, it was a lot of layers of which I had to peel away, of which I had to look at. And then I started to shift and I started to get breakthroughs and then healing started to come. The real deep stuff didn't really happen until my 30s. Believe it or not, it was like my mom passed away and then my father was alive and I shared some of that story. And that was a crazy situation. And I was in a marriage I was completely unhappy in. And I just wanted out of life. I wanted out of the whole entire thing. I wanted nothing to do with any of this. I didn't want anything to do with my father who's acting like this. And, you know, this man that I'm married to, like our marriage was, it was like an arranged marriage. And so I started waking up even more in different ways with this, like what is going on here? And I'm in my prime, quote, prime, you know, I'm in my 30s. I did eventually want to have children, which I never did because it's nobody's fault. Of course, my own choices. And just the case of the way that life was, things were happening in life. And I felt like I didn't have a choice. Like I was in this marriage. I didn't have a choice. And then I finally realized like I'm going to get a divorce. I want a divorce. And even when that first came out of my mouth, people were trying to tell me, they were trying to tell me in so many ways, you don't have a choice. I don't have a choice because God's going to condemn me to hell or something like this if I get divorced. Guess what? That's a chance I'm willing to take. That is a risk I'm willing to take because I'm not doing this. And then I left church and it was a whole big thing. And all started from vulnerability. And I'm telling you, it's like I almost said I could write a book and I will at some point. But a lot of, so the point is you can do this and you can be you can heal yourself. You can do this. You can get yourself someone like me to work with you, to help you. If you're not able to do it on your own, but if you have a heart and you have a pulse, you can in fact do this. Physically, mentally, spiritually, you can do this. You can do this. Because you wouldn't be here. And if you can't do this, well, then I guess you're shit out of luck and God and universe has said, well, screw you. It's not your time this time. You're going to have to just live the rest of your life miserable until the next life, until the next time your soul incarnates, and then maybe you'll have a chance. I don't like that whole philosophy right there, that whole thing. And I'm not saying there aren't, you know, truths to things about the soul having another, but I'm saying that I personally feel if you're here and you're here now, that you can do this. So in any case, so moving right along, fresh paint in the hawk. So layers, shifts, and upgrades. So abundance. We are abundant within. Sunday. So here's what happened. So I've had this little table. I've had this little iron. It's an iron table. And it looks wicker, but it's iron. And it has like the holes in the top. I don't know what it's called. It's like a great top. It's cute. And I put plants and stuff on it. And I'm like, you know, this thing is just rusting and it's chipping and it's that. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, why don't you spray paint this thing? Now I don't typically do, like, I'm not a crafty person. I'm not like the woman who makes all the things. And I don't spend, like, there are women that live in Michaels. They live at Michaels and crafts is their thing. That's never been me. Like, I do other things, but I don't, I'm creative in other ways, but I've never been the crafty person. Every once in a while I get the craft bug. And not that this is a craft, but so got myself some paint and I thought I am going to do this. And I even knew in my mind, I said, you're going to get something out of this when you start to work on this table. So I put like a tarp down on the ground and I got some scraping tools and I just started to really scrape away at this table. And the more I scraped, I'm like, there had to be three layers of paint that whoever had this before or whatever. And it's a used table. Just kept painting over and painting over and painting over. I don't want to do that because I know what's going to happen. I've seen it when I was a kid. This is a true story. And this is some, I don't know if this is a metaphor or another analogy or whatever, but when I was a kid, so the house that I grew up in, let's just say there were not the sharpest tools in the shed. Okay. So when it came time to paint the front porch, it was just keep painting over the same layer on the porch. And the last time I remember my friend, Jane from high school, she came over to help and we were seniors in high school and she, my mother's like, do you want to help me paint the front porch? I said, yeah. So Jane called and it just all worked out. So the two of us ended up painting the front porch, but and it was a brick red house and it wasn't a brick house. It was wood, you know, but the porch was wooden. So anyway, the whole entire thing should have been sanded down like five or six paint jobs ago. And it never was. And I'm looking at it and it's just like, we're just painting over. And I'm seeing the layers and how it was like these big thick pieces are starting to peel up. We're just painting over it like it's no big deal. I'm 17 years old. What the heck do I know? We're kids in high school just painting the porch. And I just think like, oh my God, the whole thing should have been sanded down. It should have been probably the paint should have been removed. I don't even know what the proper professional job for this would be, but or what the first step would be, but surely not to just keep painting over it on layer on top of layer on top of layer. So I thought of that when I was working on this table. So I'm sitting there. It took me a while to scrape it all down. And I went every nook and cranny of this table from the top to the legs, to everything. And I mean, there was purple involved. I don't know where the purple came from. Somehow this table used to be purple at some stage. You'll find a lot when you start peeling away the layers. When you start, there's a lot to be seen that you never saw before and stuff that's like, you know, so just think about this in terms of emotionally, of spiritually. And I just thought, I want to do this right. I because when I paint this, I want it to last. I want the paint to adhere to this. I don't want it to chip. I don't want it to bubble. I don't want it to only last a season. I want it to look really nice. And so I'm chipping away and I'm chipping away. And I started to think about all of this, you know, how it's aligned with how people function, you know, that instead of like really dealing with things, they'll just cover it up. You know, it's just easier to cover it all up and hope it'll all go away, or just maybe apply, I don't know, maybe carry a crystal or maybe light a candle or maybe say a prayer or maybe go to prayer meeting or maybe have somebody lay hands on you or maybe call somebody up and vent your problems out to somebody else or maybe take it out on somebody else or maybe avoid somebody else or maybe do all kinds of behaviors and things and actions and whatnot that will do everything to avoid the situation at hand. And none of it works, and it all backfires usually eventually. And that's the space that we're in right now. And we've been for a while. The eclipse, and even before that, leading up to that, people have definitely entered into a higher frequency and for the people that have done the deep work already, I'm going to say hello to someone. So EG is here. Hello, welcome to the live studio. I don't think I've seen you before, but do avail yourself to previous episodes and feel free to follow me if you feel like it. I would love that. I want to read something real quick that somebody posted. It was Carrie who was on the podcast the week before last. And this is what she said. Okay. True spiritual warriors know as they upgrade, the collective upgrades. Many have broken through into new frequency bandwidths due to their courage to dive so deep with personal accountability. As a unified field of consciousness, these actions upgrade the entire realm. Anyone still looting, looshing, siphoning, or sucking life force from others will continue to be found out as the energy mirror is held up to see their own reflection. All ugly and hideous aspects of self will be made apparent, creating an opportunity and impetus to turn inward for soul nourishment and true sustainable power. The key to ultimate breakthrough from lower demonic realms, and that's kind of, you know, pretty extreme, is replacing the collective passive aggressive program with absolute authenticity. This means to show our heart and feelings, since they are the true inner wisdom keepers. The need to be liked or respected from outside forces is not important if it requires us to be fake. Fakeness, even if to not upset others, is keeping the collective locked in the dungeon, looping consciousness in a heartless space. Heart of the loving and ferocious kind is now center stage. Bold and authentic, unapologetically being ourselves is the antidote to our suppression. It's an amazing, and it's only a couple paragraphs, it's a powerful statement that she made, and it's right up my heart body. It's right up my alley, everything that she said right there. And that's what's happening in it, and it's what has been happening. And for myself, I paid a massive ass price years ago for things of, you know, I was in my 20s and I was going through stuff. I was even in my 30s and people were having babies and they were happily married and they were doing all these different things. And I'm not saying everybody was, but here I was like, am I going to have a shot at this? You know? And then I was 40 and I was engaged to someone else and I still had a chance of conceiving to having children, and then that didn't work out. And so it's like I have paid a price and been through a lot of pain. And I understand upgrade. I understand true breakthrough. I understand what it takes. I understand what this means. So I'm painting this thing and this, not painting, I'm chipping away at this table. And this is going to be, and it's, I'm getting down to the smooth, like really to where it's really smooth. And that's the thing is that, you know, kind of reiterating that if I were to just say, oh, the heck with it, I'll rinse it off, any surface dirt, I'll just rinse off the surface dirt. And a lot of people do that. We'll deal with the surface dirt. You know, just clean this off and just throw a nice jacket on or throw a good pair of shoes on. You're good to go. You know, put your hair up in a ponytail and throw some this on, you know, I could have just washed it off or power washed it with the hose and then just spray painted it and said, I'll just screw it and be good enough. I'm not a good enough person. I've never been like, oh, it's good enough. Sometimes there are things that are good enough. you know, with what I'm cooking or baking, or, you know, maybe the shirt doesn't match perfect. That's good enough. But when it comes to like something like this, why do I want to spend the money, paint, and then spray paint, and then it's all going to fall to crap? Like, why do I want to do that? But the surface dirt. So people deal with the surface dirt. They have a mental understanding. They have a sort of a concept of, here's all the stuff. Here's all the things that, because we all know who we are. We know who we are. We know what we do. We kind of know what our limits are. We kind of know, we kind of know where, what we can get away with sort of, and what we can't. Okay, good. So I got this. All right, good. We kind of know these things, you know, nobody's fooling the other person. I mean, unless you are just a full-blown narcissist, like a full-blown narcissist, that you are just so self-absorbed and so selfish that you just don't give a rat's ass about anybody else at all. And you're just going to say and do and be a jerk and whatever. You're just going to use people and you're just going to take advantage of people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like the average person does have a clue of who they are and what they do and what they say and how they feel and how they behave. It's a lot of times, even if there's some subconscious involved, the whole like, I'm just going to see what I can get away with, or, you know, and people subconsciously will feel other people out to see where they're at, to see what, you know, I can really, you know, what can slide by and what can't, what, you know, and it's all ego stuff. It's all ego stuff. We've all done this at one point or another, at one level or another. But so the surface dirt, you know, it's just like, you can be aware of it. And so you'll manage that stuff around certain people. Like, have you ever noticed this with anybody, whether it's a family member or friend, even maybe a spouse or whoever, coworkers are good for this, especially around the boss, that they'll be, or a manager, or maybe just another coworker. Like, you'll have one conversation around certain people, and then someone all of a sudden walks into the room, or shows up at the lunch table, or shows up in the staff meeting, and all of a sudden the conversation changes, and you can't say these certain. You have to act like their demeanor changes, their action changes, or even in families. Like, you'll be having a conversation with the brother or the mother, and then the father walks and you got to change the subject. Same thing with like, just pick any random family member that this applies to, or anybody, maybe even in the church setting or whatever it is. It's the same thing. Like, that's like a form of manipulation. It's not being authentic. It's being fake around certain people. It's not being honest and telling your truth around certain people. And what I just read here is just being totally and completely authentic, you know, totally and completely like, you know, true to who you really are. And I can be proud of that I have done that, I've lost jobs over that, but I have always been very honest and shown up authentic and real, because I've never been a brown noser. I've never been someone that's going to kiss ass. I've never been someone that I'm going to just not, tell you how I really feel. Now, I've had to learn how to say things. I wasn't always the best at my delivery. I own that 100%. I've not always been the best at delivery, because I always have an HSP, a highly sensitive person, an empath on steroids, and I've always felt things very deeply. And I would get hurt easily and or offended, and I would feel like, well, because my heart is there for you, my heart is on a platter over here or on my, you know, on my sleeve. And I wouldn't treat you this way, so why are you acting like that? And it took a lifetime to not take other people's junk personal. And if you can get to that point, if you can get to that point where you really, really, really don't take what anybody else does to heart, I'm not going to say personal, because sometimes it is personal. Sometimes it is personal when you're in a friendship, a relationship, a marriage, and somebody does something, it's personal, because you are in a friendship, relationship, or a marriage with that person, and it sucks. So I'm going to say, you don't take it to heart so deeply that you try to understand their behavior and their perspective and their energy that they're functioning in, and the mindset that they're functioning in doesn't have anything to do with you. If you could really get to that place, it's a powerful place. I'm there pretty good. I'm like 90. I'm 97, 95%, 90% most of the time, 95% on depending on who it is. I'm to the point lately, I really don't care. I'm not, I care. I have learned how, learning how to departmentalize your care is a superpower. I got to write that down. Learning to departmentalize your love and your care is a superpower, because people have thought that, well, I'm either going to be all on or off. I'm all on or off, hot or cold. I'm either going to be hot or cold. And it's like, well, I'm not going to love anybody anymore. I'm done with this love. I'm done with this stuff. Or, you know, and then you get over that hurt. And that's like, oh, I'm just going to love everybody. And then you go walking right into this thing, heart wide open and everything. And then you end up getting hurt all over again. You have to be wise and savvy as to what to be open to and when and how. And departmentalizing the measures of care and love that you give and share. And I'm not talking about from a defensive space at all. I'm talking about a wise space. And there's a difference between the wise and the defensive, the wise versus the defensive. I'm writing this down too. And there's a difference between that. There's a healthy difference between that. Because if you're doing it from a chip on your shoulder that, oh, I'm just not going to do this anymore. Well, screw them. You know, there's a hurt there. There's hurt underneath of that statement. There's hurt underneath any chips, always. And I used to do that. You know, I used to do that. Now it's like, okay, I'm seeing this person. I'm seeing this. I'm seeing that for who it is. And I'm just going to not do this anymore. I'm going to just not, you know, I'm not talking about like ghosting, silent treatment, avoidance. Like those things are toxic. Those behaviors, like the ghosting, and you're just going to like disappear, you know? And sometimes I had a friend, this happened over Christmas, best friend, had the conversation. And after you've had the conversation, you have that tight, close talk once a week, every other week, a few times a month, whatever, friendship. And it was just like this, I don't want to tell the whole entire story, but it was to the point in that particular friendship, because every friendship has its context. There's context to everything. Because people that are running around with the chip on their shoulder, and I'm just not going to do this anymore, and they get like all this wonky stuff, you know, that's bad toxic energy. That's your own victimized, your own unhealed wounds that's traipsing around all over the place. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the context to every person, to every friendship, to every connection. There's context, and there's specific things that only belong to that. In an honorable, respectful space. In this particular space, we'd had the conversations. And it just, there comes a point, you can't have a conversation again. You can't have another conversation. And so it was not so great the way this happened at Christmas. And it just sort of, I didn't ask to talk. I didn't say I wasn't going to talk. I just got quiet. And then this person blocked me everywhere. Extreme, very extreme. Because I was getting a clue and I was getting an insight. You start to get a clue and an understanding where someone is. You start to get a clue and an understanding where, okay, this is what's happening. This is how they're behaving. And this is not going in a good direction. I'm going to just like protect myself now. And I'm not talking about paranoia either. And see, the thing is when you still have unhealed debris and stuff that's lingering, people often have a hard time deciphering what's real. What's really like, is this person, they have a hard time deciphering another person's intentions and where they're coming from. As in, you know, did this person say this to be a jerk? Is this person saying this to be mean to me? Is this person being malicious? If you know someone's character, then you know their character. And once a character is established, character doesn't change. And, you know, trust and credibility is established over time and character doesn't change. And once you know somebody, they're not going to just shift on a dime for no reason. And then you can always ask the question. You can always ask them questions. But so the surface dirt, you know, and you can spray on top of that. And you know what? I could have sprayed the table and it's going to chip away anyway. And then I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to be with this table. Like, okay, I'm either going to scrape this down to the nub, to the smooth space. So when I spray the fresh paint, it will adhere. It will last. When it sits out in the rain and the inclement weather and the snow, which it does, it'll be fine. And when next spring comes along, it's going to be standing strong. It's going to be standing there still in good condition. not wearing away. There was rust that you had to scrape off the rust. So at the time that I was doing this, this hawk, oh my God, lands within feet. Hawks don't just land next to you. Hawks and eagles don't do this. I've seen some brown, I've never seen bald, I've seen a bald eagle from a distance a long time ago somewhere else. I have not seen a bald eagle here in this place, in this county. I've not seen a bald eagle with the yellow beak. I have not. I saw a golden eagle here in this county. It was many years ago. And I pulled over quick. I had my camera with me. I tried to shoot it and I missed it. Hawks are everywhere here. I have a hawk feather. They show up a lot. And so this hawk lands within feet of me on behind this massive ass pine tree. That's the swimming pool, kind of gated swimming pool. It's not gated. It has a fence, but so it lands on the pillar. I was like, oh my God in heaven. I'm like here with my hand trying to feel around like, where's my phone? Where's my phone? Okay, I'm going to get this. I got like the best shot of this thing. I don't know if I'm ever going to be as close to a hawk as this ever in my life. Again, you never know. Of course, I looked it up to see what it meant, and the message was spot on. Absolutely spot on. At the time that I was doing this, and that I was seeing into this situation, and this isn't even some heavy revelation. This isn't like some great profound thing, you know, with the paint. I mean, I posted it yesterday, got a lot of reaction, and to me, and I'm not saying this arrogantly, for me, this was kind of just all, it's not necessarily common sense, but it's just sort of like the analogy seemed to be simple, you know, that, so I sprayed the table, the hawk, it sat there for 20 seconds. That's kind of a long time if you count to 20. I was in awe. And I just felt like I was getting this sort of analogy coming at the same time this hawk showed up. And it just was, you know, it was the situation that I'm experiencing working on this table with this hawk showing up. And it was just like all like, you know, all confirming of the place that I'm in and what I'm doing and what I'm still working towards. Because you will be tested in life and you will be, you know, things will come at you. And for me, you know how I roll. I'm still a signs and wonders girl. I've still, you know, the universe and God will show synchronicities and signs and all kinds of things. And even personal for things that I don't even discuss here, you know. But so the unhealed emerging debris is what is taking place in this moment. And that's why I felt like we can't cover this up. Like if you really want that depth of joy and that depth of peace and that just, you know, waking up in the morning, being like and loving life when you wake up, like really appreciating life and really being happy about life. And there are people that just do this on a regular basis and they just do, you know, and a lot of people are not, you know, they dread going to work. They dread everything. They just dread just most of the day. They have a dread for most of the day. And I used to be that way. I really did. Like even when I was working at the pharmaceutical company, I wasn't crazy about getting up at 5:30 in the morning every day. I wasn't crazy about getting in the car and driving to this office and dealing with this pressurized, it was hard. I wasn't cut out for it long term. There are people that love it. That's what they do. It's rough. That industry is rough. Anyway, so so there's those that have really done this work. You know, the first waivers, the pioneers, the healers, the people that have done this work, and the boundary and the standards is high now. The upgrade, you know, I'm talking about layer shifts and upgrades, and the upgrade has taken place for a lot of people where it's like, okay, I felt this shift within myself personally where it's like, wow, I don't care about that anymore. And wow, I'm really enjoying this now. And wow, this is like, I feel freer than I ever have. I feel like things that used to, and I'm talking recent, things that used to get to me are not getting to me anymore. Things that, because things get to you, you know, stuff gets to you, but for me, sometimes things would get to me that would not get to the average person because it's just me and the sensitivity and all that crap. And it's just not. And I'm just like, it's awesome. And at the same time, I still have this passion to deliver this message and to share this stuff for your freedom, for whoever's listening, whoever wants that freedom. Like maybe you don't like your living situation, or you want to move, or you don't like your marriage, or you don't like your boyfriend, you don't like your girlfriend. Maybe you just don't like a family member. Or you want to not like a family member, but you need to establish boundaries with some people, boundaries with a family member, boundaries with like, you just don't want to do certain things anymore. You have a choice. You can absolutely say yes to yourself. You say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this anymore. I was thinking recently, and I'm trying to think what situation it was, but I'm thinking back how I thought with certain situations that I didn't have a choice. And I'm not talking about the marriage, but I'm thinking about situations. Well, this is where I am. I don't have a choice. And it's fascinating how we as humans can get ourselves into situations, or we create situations, or we make choices, and then we feel we're in it and we don't have a choice. We can't leave. We can't change it. I don't know where that comes from. It's fear-based. It's like a fear-based thing that we think that we can't peel away the layer to find out, well, why I don't want to be here. So leave, you know, get divorced, break up, move, have the hard conversation, reach out to that person. You can do this and make these choices. So I want to shift into, where is everyone trying to go? Offloading and drama. I want to talk about that for a minute, about the layers. Another thing, let me say this first. Let me digress for just a minute. Another thing that behaviors that will take place is, you know, instead of peeling away the layers, they will offload it onto other people. Well, let me just dump this on you over here. Or let me just let me sidestep my accountability or my responsibility here, because, you know, I know that this is emerging in me right now and I don't want to own it. I don't want to be accountable for it. So let me sidestep and just go this way over here. Or let me just offload it in a sort of a side swiping backhanded way, as in, well, we'll have this conversation. There's something awkward happening with an individual. So I, instead of, you know, just taking full ownership, let me just, you know, do A, B, or C to just offload, or maybe just even, you know, create a situation that of drama, maybe just create drama over it. Start a fight, cause an argument, start blaming someone, you know, blame shifting, stuff like this. And it happens gradually. If you're not really paying attention, if you're not aware, it does happen gradually with people that they're just, you know, people that you'll be around. And it's an energetic thing where, cause you want to have trust, you want to bond with people. When you start really getting to know people, a natural familiarity starts to develop. You start to feel like familiar. You start to feel, you know, at ease and at peace, let's say, or at ease or rest around someone. And then in that space of feeling at ease, sometimes people don't always know to keep their own debris to themselves. They don't always know how to do that. And, you know, the offloading, the venting will start happening with certain things, or, you know, maybe a situation will arise where there is a disagreement or there's something that you don't see eye to eye on. And then in that moment, it's in those moments, right? Those little shifting, changing little moments there, or those invitations to, you know, something that isn't just locking in so completely, where it will be like, sometimes people will go to the extreme and they'll interpret it as, it'll be taken to the extreme where, well, I don't like you anymore, or I thought we were connected, and you start questioning the whole entire connection because of this situation that is minor compared to all of the other stuff and all of the other things that connected you to this person to begin with, whether it's, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, you know, whatever friendship it is, connection it is. And this is where what's happening now is in these little situations that are arising are where I think things are being blown out of proportion. Mountains are being made out of molehills because there is not that grounded emotional constitution to be able to assess and discern what's important, what belongs to you, what belongs to me, and just moving through it with respect and honor, if this makes sense. I couldn't repeat that if I tried. Those are the things that are happening, you know, and it has been happening. And it's all like, it is all an invitation to work on this stuff. And I typed something out earlier, and I normally don't do this, but I want to share this. This kind of segues into, well, it's like this, and I didn't say this. If you're brought to something, you're being asked to break through that thing. If you're experiencing it, you're being invited to break through it. You're being invited to deal with it if you're experiencing it. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about the extreme of narcissism. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about typical, usual, just relational situations where shit happens no matter what. It's always going to happen. Things are going to arise because none of us are perfect. We're on different phases of consciousness and understanding and awareness. In those moments is when you're, it's an invitation to say, oh, okay, well, what do I need to look at here? And the more wounded the person is, or the more old debris, that the more layers of paint, right? The harder it is to get down to that smooth layer, to chip. I mean, it took me an hour. It took me more than an hour, I think. And it's not a big table, but to scrape that thing down to the, all the way around. It took me a while to get for it to be spray paint worthy. It was like an afternoon it took me to do. That's that debris and that those little foxes, so to speak, or all that stuff, is coming to the surface for a reason, for you to look at and for you to clear it. And people tend to like feel great about this because there's other stuff behind it. Hence where it's hard to decipher, and that's where the confusion comes in. And people get confused because their emotions are driving behind that. They're so strong behind this situation that aren't present. It's not even a present situation. Like their emotions aren't present to the small situation. Let me say that again. The emotion they're feeling isn't present to the situation at hand. And so it gets blown out of proportion. Or it gets interpreted totally, completely misunderstood and misinterpreted. Grounded people, healthy, emotionally healthy people, or self-aware people aren't perfect, but they will take that situation and they will lean back and reflect. And they'll reflect and say, okay, I see now. I understand what I was thinking. I understand what I was feeling. Oh, you know what? I'm really sorry about that. This is what I was thinking. And, you know, and then you have like this healthy conversation going forward. That's how it, quote, should be, because nobody is perfect, and there are just tons of energies and consciousnesses and awarenesses all over the place. A healthy, aware, self-aware person is going to want to handle it that way and say, okay, here's what's going on. You know, and it's not going to hurt to own. You know, when it hurts to own, there's other stuff going on. When you feel so proud or arrogant to own something, or you feel, or maybe there's a ton of a shitload of embarrassment. If there's like a shitload of embarrassment or humiliation or stuff like this, there's other lingering stuff there that isn't even present with that person. But here's what happens. People are fighting and arguing and getting into drama situations all over the place because they're not even present. They're not even, they're, debris is fighting with debris. Unhealed debris is arguing with each other. Or there's one party in the mix that has all this unhealed debris and they're offloading it onto this other party who is like, okay, I'm just over here telling you my truth, or I'm just over here making a statement and you're misinterpreting me, you're taking me the wrong way, and they have this whole other story going on inside their head, inside their heart body, and they're seeing it through that filter instead of clearly as you intended. And so intentions aren't always being seen very clearly. The work and the willingness and the consciousness is saying, I want to understand this. Help me understand this. Or I'm going to own this. You know what? And not feel like stupid about it. Not feel embarrassed about it. Or not feel like egotistical about it. Or like I have a chip on my shoulder. I just can't say or feel prideful about it. There's too much going on in the world. I mean, I think, isn't there a war going on somewhere? I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. There's so much going on in life that when you find good people and you have good connections, whether it is your marriage, whether it is your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friendship, connection, whatever it is, even if, you know, a real cool coworker, you have these good people, take care of these people because they're not, you know, we're also in a place of this thing that I just read that she just posted. We're not hanging around anymore. You know, these people aren't going to hang around anymore for this. I've been single a very long time and I love that. And I love that. I appreciate my life and I love my life and friends and stuff and conversations I have on the phone with friends and things. And, you know, I don't anymore want to be involved in situations I was involved in the past ever again. You know, I learned a lot from it. I healed from it. You know, friendships included, you know, this Christmas person that I shared, that it's like, you know, I'm an all-in person. I'm a forever person. I'm an all-in person. I'm a loyal, devoted person. If I consider people a friend, they're my friend for life. I'm a friend for life. I've always been a friend for life. Unfortunately, people aren't friends for life because they don't want to do this kind of work or they don't want to reflect. They don't want to have a conversation. Like that Christmas person that I'm talking about could have easily asked me what's going on. And, you know, they knew where I stood, but instead of doing that, they just took off. Well, that tell me that's how they felt. They felt this about me long before they took off. That was going on long before it took off, before they took off. It's like, you don't chase people that don't want you. You don't chase people like this that are indifferent, that are moody, that are shifty, that you just don't. You know, like I'm an awesome friend. I'm an awesome person. I'm loyal to the bone. And if you're in my life and you're my friend, like I really care about you and I really care about what's happening in your life and I want the best for you and I want you to succeed and I want you whole and healed and I want you happy. That's me, you know? And look, I'm not bragging by any means. You know, that's not where I'm coming from. And so where's everybody trying to go? Let me talk about this for a few minutes because it's an hour and 8 minutes in and I've said a lot. And I know I've been talking really fast and thank God. The help, I think I mentioned that when we ask for help, you know, when we ask for help, let me talk about that for a minute. Well, I need help with this. And so when you ask for help, a lot of times those situations will arise. And this is true. And I didn't necessarily make this up, but I've lived it. I've experienced it. There are a lot of times, well, I need help with this. I keep kind of cycling around. I keep going around the same pattern. I need help. And a lot of times help doesn't come in the form of situations never happening again. Help comes in the form of the situation cycling back again for you to try again. It'll keep happening for you to try again. So I've been presented with recently similar situations that I've experienced before. And I've handled it totally differently, completely different than I used to before. And I'm proud of myself for it. You know, you'll be presented with things that seem familiar that you've been through before. And when you handle it a different way, naturally, when you can handle it a different way and you can move through that, then you've broken through. Then you know you've healed when you act differently towards it, when you feel differently towards it. In the beginning, you might not feel so great about it. In the beginning, it might feel awkward to take a different step, to take a different path, to make a different choice surrounding that situation. But once you do that, maybe it might only take one time, but maybe it's twice, maybe it's three times, then it becomes like, wow, this isn't so bad. And you force you force your emotional self to move in the direction of that better choice by action. You know, I've said the magic is in the action, and I didn't make that up. Someone said that to me back around 2010, the magic is in the action. And it's true. Sometimes things aren't just going to happen. The healing isn't going to happen. And I think Jeff Brown said this on the yoga mat in the class. The healing happens walking through it. The healing happens while you're experiencing it and how you handle it. And when you handle it differently, then you know you're healed. When you choose to handle it differently, when you choose to make a different choice, when you choose to say a different thing, behave a different way, react a different way, respond a different way, then you know that you've healed and that pattern is broken, you know, and that's how you break it. And that's pretty wild. So where is everybody going? I'm going to get back to this. Because there's this whole, you know, and Carrie Ann and I talked about this. Tina and I have talked about this. I've talked about this, that, you know, especially with the eclipse and the energies, which is real, it is legitimate. There has been a shift. There's been a massive shift in the atmosphere, in the energy realm. There definitely has been. But I think where Gaia is concerned and New Earth is concerned, we are the ones that are creating this. We are the ones that are, it's inside, it's within. We are creating the New Earth, and the New Earth outside and the love that we're wanting to experience, it's all happening from the inside out. Like the center of the yard here isn't going to all of a sudden like burst open from the ground, and there's going to be like these angels that are going to come. I'm not saying stuff like that doesn't happen, but I'm saying that that's not what New Earth means. That's not what Gaia means. You know, people were saying that when the eclipse happens, we're all going to bless Gaia. We're not even going to be here to see it. And I was like, you know what? I've had enough of this. I am really, oh, sorry, not sorry for that one, because, you know, if you wanted to go into deep meditation all day during the eclipse and move into your meditative state to where you really felt like you were not on this earth plane, you could do that. But we're not like, you know, going to another earth somewhere or blessed Gaia somewhere, because you're still here. Your body, your flesh, your whole experience is still here. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you teach. I don't care what anybody's saying, you know, and there are all these special people that are teaching all these special things. And, you know, everybody looks to these particular gurus and masters and things. The answer is within all of us. We all have universe and the infinite within us. The wisdom of the ages is within us. The ancestral wisdom is within us. All of it is within us. It's bottomless. It's boundless. And that's how we are creating this, quote, new earth from the inside out. The shifting with that. And why are we doing this? Well, you know, I think people have been hurting and struggling and suffering and stressed out for a very long time. And it's the cycle is ending of that, of all the pain and suffering and the struggle. And we are moving into, it's time that it's the golden age, and we are moving into this greater place of love. And so people that are feeling triggered and being forced to look at things, you know, it might suck. It might feel horrible still. You know, I almost said something. I'm not going to say it. I almost count on all joy. Like it's, pretend I didn't say that. Look at it as a good thing. Look at it, you know, perceive it as a good thing for you to go in and deal with some of this stuff. I mean, I understand it, you know, and it's not all dark night of the soul, but it's like, just deal with it for the sake of your own peace, for the sake of your own joy, for the sake of your own relational. Do you care about your, I wonder sometimes if people care about their friendships and if they care about their relationship. I really wonder. I really do. Like I didn't have family. So I do. I happen to care about people that I love. I care about like my connections, because they are my family. They're a form of family, because I don't have that. And so I haven't, stuffy nose. I don't know what's going on. So excuse me if you hear me like sniffing. I care about my peeps, you know. You know, it's different maybe than people that have like, maybe they have the sister or the brother or the cousins they hang out with, or maybe they see their, maybe they, I don't know what it is, their family situation. you know, I know like my, I'm not going to say who she is, but her mom, she's in a space right now where her mom has kind of been declining and I think has dementia and stuff like this. And it's, she's in her 80s. I'm pretty sure she's in her upper 80s. I don't exactly remember how old she was. And it's hard for her and her sister because they love their mother. And so, you know, they're always together with her, taking care of her. You know, and then it's when the mom is to a point where she's kind of not recognizing people. I mean, at least she has her sister and they have that relationship. Like, I don't have siblings. I don't have any of that. So my friends mean a lot to me. But so as getting back to where we're going, you know, this is where we're going is like, and I don't think there's no way, there isn't any way around it now. You can ignore it. And I don't mean you, anybody who's in the live studio or anybody who's listening. I use the phrase you can, in general, speaking in general, you can ignore it. You can let it go. You don't have to care about it. You can choose to do whatever you want. But I know this, that you're going to keep facing these certain things until you really deal with it now. Like, I mean, 20 years ago, yeah, it didn't matter. 20 years ago was a different time. It was a different age. It was a different 30 years ago. Oh my God, totally different thing. We're not there anymore. We're in such a space now with just the state that the world is in, and we're, you know, everything in this spiritual understanding and all this, it is, and it's for your own, it's for our, the unity of all of us and the, you know, the collective. And, you know, when I go out anymore, I just always will say, like, let me just be, you know, a vessel of love wherever I go. And I have my off days, trust me when I tell you. But I still will say, you know, put your own stuff to the side and try to be a vessel of love. Try to smile at someone's, try to say hello to somebody. Try to, you know, if you're in line at wherever you are, you know, try to put out good energy, because people are just even more than you are suffering and struggling. If you have any measure of awareness or any measure of understanding, there are people that are, there's always somebody that's going to be in a worse condition than you are, that they don't even understand anything. And they just feel lost, and they feel like, you know, there are marriages that are lost. There are massive big families that are lost. They have tons of money and they're lost. And they're drunk all the time. They're just always drunk. They're always partying. They're always distracting themselves with whatever it is. It doesn't matter. I mean, distraction is distraction. Distraction is distraction. And we're in a place where it's like being called to feel more than ever. You have to feel this now. You have to feel this now, because whatever was covered over, the surface dirt, whatever was power washed and painted over, it's all coming out now. And I'm not saying I don't have to deal with this myself. I know that I'm a voice of this. And I don't want to go back, like, I don't want to repeat what I already said, but it's a positive thing. It's a positive thing. And I've seen certain people, people I haven't spoken to in a very long time. You know, maybe I'm just friends with them in social media, and I see things, and I've seen a lot of changes and a lot of people that are just saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do now. Like, this is what I'm doing. I'm making this change. I'm making this shift, because there's so many memes out there that are so, you know, it's the other person's fault oriented. And I'm trying to think of one. Surround yourself with people that feel like sunshine. Surround yourself with people that feel like sunlight. How about this? Surround yourself with your own sunlight. Surround yourself with your own sunshine. How about that? Because if you surround yourself by your own sunshine and your own sunlight, then you'll emote that out into the space, and you'll send that vibration out into the into the collective. And then maybe you'll attract that from other people instead of, you know, avoid the people that are darkness, you know, avoid this, avoid that, surround yourself with people that do this. Like, that's just one of them. I actually read this from a quote public speaker today, a pretty famous one. It's an okay quote. there's just certain things like, and here's what happens is the more that you advance and expand, you're going to find that these certain things just don't cut the mustard anymore. They just, not that you ever could really cut mustard, but they just don't cut it anymore. You know, where it's like, everything is from the outside, from the inside out. Now, all of it, most of it. I mean, it's like, it's a very anti-blame. There's no more blame. There's no more blame shifting. There's no more, you know, of that anymore. You know, it's all, and I'm not saying that people don't do crappy things, because there's context to what I'm saying with this too. Like whatever it is in the marriage, the friendship, the whatever dating situation, and you encounter something and one of the parties does something really crappy and then you ask them about it. And, you know, there needs to be like an accountability in that particular situation. And people are as accountable as they want to be. You know, accountability is also a choice. So in any case, man, I swear, you know, it might be the candle. I have a eucalyptus candle burning. Maybe that's what it is. I love eucalyptus. But so anyway, hour and 21 minutes. How do I want to close this? I don't know how to close this. The new of you. So the new of you is underneath the layers of stuff. It's underneath the layers. It's underneath. And I'm not saying that you all have stuff. Like, I'm not saying that either. I'm saying that the upgrade, you know, to continually expanding and upgrading and shifting. There's always another layer to shed. It's like the layers of the onion or the paint layers. There's always layers to shed. And you can choose, like, some, if you don't want to do that anymore, you don't have to do that. You know, it's all a choice. It's all a choice. But hence the peace and the greater peace and the greater love and the greater, you know, relational experiences you will have as a result of you choosing. You know, you choosing to keep moving into this place of this, you know, this shift and these up, the upgrade of that we're being invited to by God, by the universe and God. I mean, it's just something that it's beyond our human form. It's beyond our human control. You know, it's what a lot of us have waited for and wanted like our whole entire lives. And you are love at your core. That's what you are. And it's just trying to come out. That's all it is. You encounter a situation and a challenge. Guess what? Oh, I guess more love's trying to come out. Oh boy. See it like that. That more love is trying to come out. That's what it is. So on that note, I'm going to end right there before I start sneezing. Because I feel like I'm going to sneeze. My name is Dawn Schale. You can find me at www.dawnschale.com. I certainly hope you got something out of this. I certainly hope this made sense. In the website right there, this podcast will be listed in the library there. You can go there and just push play on any of them. Do subscribe to my YouTube channel because this is automatically uploaded to Living Light, Dark to Dawn, Rock Solid, and YouTube. Also, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Music, and of course, Facebook, social media, and X. And it will be all loaded into the social medias in about maybe a half hour to 40 minutes when this has processed. So you could, you know, check it out over there and share as you will. If you feel that this podcast would benefit anybody you know, do spread the word. Sharing is caring, be it with friends, family, or coworkers. Let them know who I am. Invite them into the live studio and say, hey, you should follow that girl, Dawn Schale. Go check her podcast out and come in the live studio with me. You'd have fun. She talks to people and we all banter and say hello and goodbye and all that stuff. And we comment along the way. If you know anybody that can use some help, some healing, if you yourself that are under the sound of my voice could use some help or healing, reach out to me. Cause I can only serve you so much through this podcast, but I can do way more substantially one-on-one. I'm available to give more. There are different levels that I work with people. And if you're looking for some answers right now or some guidance for your own life, let's talk. I'd love to get to know you better through a complimentary intuitive call. So do avail yourself to that. And that being said, I most likely will not be back on Thursdays. I haven't done Thursday in a while, but you never know. I will be back probably not next week. I might be back next Tuesday. Maybe I'll do a Monday. I really don't know because I'm going to Dallas. So this is very exciting. But we'll definitely be back the following week, which is April 30th, if not next week. mark that down, save the date, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And in the meantime, have an amazing rest of your week into the weekend. I love you all much. I wish you much just expansion, healing, abundance, and all of this, and love. And live loved and stay blessed and lit. And I will talk at you soon. Promise. Take care. Bye-bye.
Since you know me, I was a lonely soul, but that's the only. A little wiser now from what you show me. Hey, I feel again.